The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on the faithfulness of Elizabeth and Mary as we hear about it from Luke chapter 1. You may be seated. It feels like Christmas is here, doesn't it? The tree is lit. The kids are ready for the Christmas pageant, I think, right? Meals are planned. We even have the snow to ensure that we're going to have a white Christmas, don't we? Even with all that, though, it's not quite Christmas. Few things left to do. Maybe you've still got some gifts to wrap. Haven't quite gotten them under the tree yet. And we've just lit the fourth candle, and so there's 2 days remaining in the season of Advent. So this morning we continue our journey to Bethlehem and focus on the faithfulness of Elizabeth and Mary as they responded to the great grace and blessings that had been bestowed on them. Faithful women are a huge part of the lineage of Jesus. Matthew mentions a bunch of them in the first chapter of his gospel. And here in Luke, we hear of two of the most faithful who hear the word of the Lord through the angel Gabriel. They believed, they followed, even when the message was so extraordinary, when it was so unbelievable. And God continued to raise up faithful women throughout the early years of the Christian church, as he continues to do today. We all know of that woman who seems to have been at every single church service, at every church function since the day she was baptized. We all know that woman, right? I've met many of them, joyfully present and faithfully serving in whatever way possible. Maybe they were a Sunday school teacher, baking for every single bake sale, cleaning up in the kitchen after every potluck, visiting fellow members in their times of need. Cheerful in their service, for sure, but also admitting their weaknesses and their failures and asking for forgiveness. Humble, dignified, warm and loving. At first glance, if you look at these women, it might appear that they've lived easy lives, sheltered and unaffected by the difficulties of life. But everyone has their share of difficulties, of abandonment, of hardship. The difference between the cheerful and the faithful servant and the others who are not those things is that the one lives out the conviction that they are blessed by their gracious Father in heaven. And because of this, their whole lifestyle becomes a testament to that conviction. I've met many of these women, as I'm sure you have, and not to leave out the men, because there are plenty of you guys out there too who are faithful and committed, all walking in the footsteps of Mary and her relative Elizabeth, who are two first century Christians and models of living out that conviction that they were blessed beyond belief by a gracious Father in heaven, despite the fact that they certainly had their own difficulties and hardships. In the first chapter of Luke, we hear that God sends angels to both Zechariah and to Mary to deliver the message that he needs them to hear. Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, who tells her that she will be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of Israel, but not just of Israel, of all people, everywhere. This morning, we learn that when she hears that news of this great blessing that's been bestowed on her, the first thing that Mary does is she hurries to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. By all accounts, The angel's message to Mary is the first time that she hears about Elizabeth's pregnancy. It doesn't appear that she knew about this before. So her trip to her relative's home has a twofold purpose. Of course, she wants to share this news that's been revealed to her by Gabriel, but she also has to be rejoicing in the wonderful news that she's heard about Elizabeth, the one who she thought was barren and is now carrying a child. At Mary's arrival there in that village, Elizabeth recognizes how special Mary is and what an honor that's been bestowed on her. And how blessed is she, the text tells us, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And as she was, so are we. Because contrary to appearances, and in spite of all of our difficulties and all of our fatal flaws, we too, like Mary, are blessed beyond belief. Just like all those women that I've known who were so active and faithful, the reality of anyone's situation isn't always quite so clear. It can often be contrary to appearances. And for Elizabeth, her reality was certainly contrary to appearances. She was a very odd case indeed, wasn't she? She'd been unable to conceive, was well beyond her childbearing years, and yet she becomes pregnant. In truth, Elizabeth was a miracle of God's making. She was pregnant only by God's mercy and according to his promise. And Mary too. She was a situation where the reality was contrary to appearances. It appears, if someone is just looking at the outside, that Mary has dishonored her family and her betrothed, having no husband and yet becoming pregnant. But in truth, Mary was pregnant by God's Holy Spirit, receiving God's favor. And that child that she carried is the one that Gabriel reveals to her is going to be called Jesus, the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be the one whose saving kingdom will have no end. Like Mary and Elizabeth, we too often aren't what we might seem at first sight. Sometimes we're loud and we're proud. We're violent and manipulative. Sometimes we're even destructive. And it can seem as though we're among the most successful, influential, powerful, or popular. But even in those things, too often we dishonor God. Instead, we boast in our own achievements. We exalt ourselves above others, and in doing so, what we're saying is that we have no need for God. And so as we have the tendency to do those sorts of things, it's great for us to look at how Mary responds to the blessing that she's received. Because in truth, when we're all those other things, what we hear is that God scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brings down the mighty from their thrones, and the rich he has sent empty away. But he remembers his mercy towards those who, like Mary, rejoice in God my Savior. That's what Mary says. She's rejoicing in this God who has blessed her so greatly. Contrary to the appearances that we often like to show to the world, our humble rejoicing in our Savior, that baby who was born of Mary, that's exactly what God desires of us. And all that he does for us, in spite of our selfish orientation and our many flaws, Elizabeth, she acknowledges the serious defects that she herself has, her unworthiness, her need for rescue from the effects of her own sin. This is what Elizabeth says. She says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She recognizes that she doesn't deserve this favor from God, and yet she receives it. And it's not just the mother of her Lord that visits her. It's her Lord himself. The one who causes John to leap in his mother's womb is the one that we too are privileged to have enter into our presence. And even after her own miraculous conception, Elizabeth is still surprised that her holy God would enter into her life. That's something that we shouldn't be surprised by. God desires to be close to us, which is why he came into this world. Mary, too, she openly admits her personal unworthiness and her responsibility for her own sin. And in so doing, she boldly adores the Lord. She revels in God, her Savior. She and all of Israel are delivered from the consequences of their neglect of God and against the one to whom they owe their lives. To us, this visit of Mary to Elizabeth may not seem like a huge deal until we're able to confess our own selfish orientations, our own shortcomings. And the fact that even in those, God comes near to us. Both Mary and Elizabeth's lives have been thrown into complete disarray. And we certainly can't understand their exact circumstances because those are one-of-a-kind situations that these women were involved in. But we do understand what it means to live in a life of disarray. One filled with the fatal flaws of our sinfulness. And we too could and should ask, why are we so favored? Why has our God come so close to us? And the answer to that question certainly has nothing to do with ourselves or anything that we have said or done. The simple answer, just as it was for Mary and for Elizabeth, is that we are blessed beyond belief. Contrary to appearances and in spite of all of our flaws, Elizabeth was blessed beyond belief. Mary was blessed beyond belief. You have been blessed beyond belief. Not because of what we've done, not because of what they've done. Even though Zechariah didn't believe that promise at first, God kept his word. And by his Spirit, he enabled Elizabeth to relate the leaping John in her womb to the presence of Jesus, the world's Savior, who was in Mary's womb. And in that same way, also selfishly oriented and flawed, as all humans are, Mary was especially blessed beyond belief. In contrast to Zechariah, Mary trusted God's promise that was delivered to her through the angel Gabriel, and in her believing, she was blessed. Most of all, she was blessed because God accomplished in her what he had pledged to do, that through her would come into the world the Savior long promised, the Redeemer of the whole world, who would pardon the sins of all people everywhere, you and I included. And because of that, you and I too are also blessed beyond belief. And we remember that all-important aspect of God's holiness, which is his mercy. He's merciful to us. Just as he was to our ancestors, and just as he will be to our descendants. In the mercy of Christ Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day rose again. In his mercy, we are blessed with a new birth into a living hope. As we approach the very end of this Advent season, we remember those who with faith have accepted the roles that God has given to them. Mary and Elizabeth and all of the faithful women and men who went before and have come after them. I'm sure we all know men and women like this. Women and men who have been blessed beyond belief. Not because of what they've done, but because they have trusted and believed in what God has done. What God did when he came into this world to be near to each and every one of us. And what he continues to do. May we be counted among those who have found favor with God through the faith that he's bestowed on us. And may we remember every day that we are blessed beyond belief. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.